I, in the midst of you, am mighty. Rest back now in this I, in your very midst. Realize that I am come that you might have life, and life more abundant. My life. Infinite, eternal abundance. We are going to discover this day how to come into the conscious awareness of our true identity. We're going to discover how to awaken to the kingdom of heaven here and now. And we are going to do this as it was laid out for us by the consciousness that appeared and is appearing on earth as the infinite way. And we're going to start with that passage from the Infinite Way book, which by now you probably feel you know very well. And yet I submit unto you, unless this has become the springboard from which you are set free, you do not know it. And so here is the first paragraph of the New Horizon, yet once again. The sense which presents pictures of discord and inharmony, disease and death, is the universal mesmerism which produces the entire dream of human existence. That means your entire life, from the cradle to the grave, is mesmerism, hypnotism, illusion. Therefore, inside of your being, you must understand that there is no more reality to harmonious human pictures than to discordant human pictures. You must realize that the entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion, and you must rise above the desire for even good human conditions. You must understand completely that suggestion, belief, or hypnotism is the substance or fabric out of which the whole mortal universe and human conditions of both good and evil is made. Therefore, they are dream pictures having no reality or permanence. You must be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear from your experience, in order that reality may be known and enjoyed and lived. And this last line is the secret. We might say, when the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence disappear, then reality may be known and enjoyed and lived. And so we say, well, I've heard that before. Yes, but how do you do that? How do you see through the harmonious as well as the inharmonious pictures presented to you by world mind? How do you see through your entire human life? Now I'm going to read something else to you. Some of you have heard it, most of you haven't, because it tells us the secret. Actually, it tells us four secrets that the world does not know. But you who choose to awaken out of this dream of mortality, you are going to be given the opportunity and the precise instructions today on how to awaken. Now, this was written on June 13th in 1960 at 7 p.m. by Joel Goldsmith when he was staying at the Hotel Wellington. And I have a copy in my hand in his handwriting where he spelled out for all time what these secrets are that were given to very few over the centuries. If you catch this message today, you will be blessed indeed. And so, at 7 p.m. in the hotel, possibly before a talk, in meditation, this came to him, and he grabbed this hotel stationery and wrote it down. And it says, there are four secrets the world does not know. One, that all evil has its rise in the universal belief in two powers. This belief operating as a universal mental malpractice. This we sum up as the activity of the carnal mind or mortal mind, originally called devil or Satan. And so here he is recognizing, revealing to us that there is a universal belief that operates as a universal mind or a world mind, a carnal mind, a mortal mind, an impersonal devil or Satan. Two, that this malpractice has no power in and of itself other than that of tempter, or beyond that of tempter. But it operates as power where it's not known and understood. In other words, there is a mental malpractice, a world mind bombarding you with mental images, which operates on you and through you as a power until you see it and know what it is. If you do not see it and know what it is, you have no hope of ever awakening. Three, further, that the human seeing, good or evil, is the product of this universal malpractice, or world mind, or carnal mind, and has no contact with God whatsoever, and is not under the law of God. And so you have a universal mental malpractice or world mind bombarding you with mental images that operates as power until you see it and cast it out. And the entire human scene, good or evil, beautiful for spacious skies, lovely little darling just born 3 minutes old, ugly, cancerous cells all over the body, meteors falling to the earth and smashing an entire small town. Both of these, all of these pictures are products of this universal world mind. The entire human scene that the senses report to you, your life from the cradle to the grave, has no God contact and is not under the law of God. You know that's true because, well, turn on your television and see what's happening to these mental images, good or bad. Oh, the beautiful and fortunate Princess Di, what happened? It turned ugly. This beautiful tropical paradise, the tsunami destroyed it. Yes, it turned ugly. First it looked beautiful, then it turned hideous. They are both forever mental images broadcast by this impersonal world mind, world thought, carnal mind, devil or Satan. And never contact God, never come under the law of God. Four, harmony of a permanent nature can only be attained as the spiritual self is realized through impersonalizing and nothingizing of the carnal mind. You will not attain harmony, nor will you realize your spiritual identity. There is one narrow path to the realization of oneness, to a realization of your spiritual self. That path is through impersonalizing and nothingizing this mental malpractice, this impersonal world mind, devil, or Satan. It is through the impersonalizing and nothingizing that your spiritual self is realized. That is why you cannot add God to your humanhood. That is why you cannot stay in humanhood and realize your spiritual identity. Humanhood must be given up, seen through, impersonalized and nothingized. Then your spiritual identity is revealed. And he left himself a final note, a number five, actually. Then there is another unknown, he wrote, that is responsible for world discords. The secret of harmony is not in using power, but in refraining from the use of power. Since omnipotence recognizes no power to overcome or destroy, this recognition of non-power establishes harmony in the human scene. And today I understand why. Because when you have successfully impersonalized and nothingized the world mind mental images, including your personal lifespan, and stand there in the stillness, not using any power at all to try to change the pictures, then your spiritual self reveals itself as harmonious being and appears as harmonious forms. Now, just so that we have this clear, let's read this through as he wrote it without interruption, and let this go within you. Hotel Wellington, June 13, 1960, 7 p.m. There are four secrets that the world does not know. One, that all evil has its rise in the universal belief in two powers. This belief operating as a universal mental malpractice. This we sum up as the activity of the carnal mind or mortal mind, originally called devil or Satan. Two, that this malpractice has no power in and of itself beyond that of tempter, but operates as power where not known and understood. Three, further, that the human seeing, good or evil, is the product of this universal malpractice or carnal mind, and has no contact with God, and is not under the law of God. For harmony of a permanent nature can only be attained as the spiritual self is realized through impersonalizing and nothingizing of the carnal mind. Then there is another unknown that is responsible for world discord. The secret of harmony is not in using power, but in refraining from the use of power, since omnipotence recognizes no power to overcome or destroy. The recognition of non-power establishes harmony in the human scene. I suspect that many of you have had the same kind of conversation, perhaps late at night, sitting by yourself, alone. All right, I recognize that there is an illusion. All right, I know that God is all there is in reality. But how? How do I make this transformation? How does it come about? How do I awaken out of this dream and into reality? How do I step across? How do I get across? We have already been told, and that is through impersonalizing and nothingizing these mental images, this mortal dream, this personal life. So we must start with our own personal life. He who loses his life shall find life eternal. We have been told from the beginning that if we lose this personal sense of life, personal sense of self, we can awaken to an eternal self. So we must begin with this personal life. Now, if you close your eyes for a moment, look at your life when you were 5 or 6 years old. You remember that? I do. I recall being in kindergarten and my sister and her girlfriend on the playground singing "Kindergarten Baby, Born in the Gravy." I can see that mental image. But wait a minute. Mental image? Mental image. That was a mental image produced by this world mind. Why, that was never a person at all. That was this impersonal something projecting pictures. That's not my life. I am not in that picture. I was never in that picture. That's a mental image. And because it's a mental image, it's nothingness. It has no God contact. It's not under the law of God. There's no God in that picture. Otherwise, it would have been eternal. And where is it? It's dissolved. It's dissolved. That same mental malpractice, that same world mind, is now showing other pictures. Now, what about when I was, or when you were, or when we were in our teens, our early teens? I remember going to school dances, picking out the prettiest girl in the room and asking her to dance. I can see it clearly in the mind, this mental image. But wait a minute. Mental image? Mental image. That's right. That was projected by this universal world mind. There's no life in it. There's no God in it. It is not in God, and God is not in it. It's a nothingness. And on up we go through young adulthood. Possibly middle age, if we're there. When these images come to your mind, you must now turn on them and say, get the hints. Get the hints. That's not a life. That's a mental image. I know thee not. Thou art nothing. We can only come into a realized spiritual identity as we impersonalize and nothingize our personal sense of life. And so as you look at this personal life that you supposedly had from the cradle up till this moment, everything you thought you saw, the good as well as the bad, never happened. And as you look at yourself today, whether you appear to have good health or bad health, whether you appear to have a good body or a bad body, that's this world mind. Those are the images it is showing to you. You cannot come into the realization of your spiritual identity until you turn on those images and say, get thee behind me. This is that impersonal world thought presenting a picture as an identity. I know it for what it is, a nothingness. Yet right here, in my very midst is the I, the invisible I, and I rest in it. Now, I, Christ, reveal yourself and be still. You might be seeing in your mind's eye an adequate income. You might be above average, even wealthy. Or you could be lacking, below the poverty line. You might have a mansion with several rooms, several automobiles, a pool and a tennis court. You might have maids and servants. You might even have a chauffeur. You might have businesses in several parts of the world. You are wealthy. On the other hand, you might be just barely existing on a fixed income. Who says it's fixed? Perhaps you live in a three-room flat, or four rooms if you count the bathroom. Perhaps you aren't able to afford right now an automobile, or you might not be able to afford right now the price of gasoline. You can't go very many places. You're limited. Perhaps you go to the grocery store and you have to settle for 83% lean meat instead of the 97 or 93% that you really want. Perhaps you have to settle for cube steak instead of sirloin steak. Perhaps you have to settle for imitation crab meat instead of the shrimp and crab that you really want. Maybe you have to settle for local fruits grown in your area when you would really like something exotic, like kiwi or mango. Perhaps you have to settle for generic brands when really the name brands taste the best. What are you looking at? You're looking at mental images. Wealthy or poor, affluent or lacking, rich or poor, they're both the same mental images. The substance and the fabric is the world mind, and you will not recognize and realize your spiritual identity unless you go to work and in your inner being turn on these images. Get thee hence. Get thee behind me. This is a mental image. It's impersonal. God made no such life. This has no God contact. This has no God. There's no presence flowing into this. It's not under the law of God. There's no spirit in this. This entire human life I've been living and seeing, why, this is a branch of a tree that's cut off. And no wonder it withers and dies. And no wonder the beauty turns to ugly. And no wonder the live turns to dead. It's a branch that's cut off. Ah, but wait. I want to awaken. So let me look in these infinite way books and see what are the instructions. How do I awaken? In this one called Realization of Oneness, it says the secret lies in knowing the nature of error. And the nature of error can be summed up in words as carnal mind, suggestion, appearance, or hypnotism. In other words, says Joel, the moment you see God and you are hypnotized. So that doesn't say the moment you see God and evil or God and devil. It says the moment you see God and anything. The moment you see God and you. God and good. God and evil. God and them. God in it, you are hypnotized. The moment you see a mortal material world of any kind, you are hypnotized. And from then on, there is no possible way to get rid of the appearance. Well, so there you have it in Realization of Oneness. If you see God and a you life, you are hypnotized. Continuing in the same chapter, which is No And, if you can agree that there is God, which means that you accept an infinite power of good, certainly then you must be able to understand there cannot be error, disease, or death. In fact, not since time began has there ever been a single death in the kingdom of God. So whatever you see in the nature of sin, disease, or death is a part of the hypnosis. And furthermore, whatever you see as good humanhood is also a part of the same hypnosis. Even the healthy human being of 30 or 40 will someday be an old human being of 70 or 80. When you see a young, healthy person, you are just being fooled by an appearance. And until you become dehypnotized to the degree that you can know there are no good human beings or bad human beings, no diseased human beings or healthy human beings, there's only God, the one life, the one soul, the one spirit, the one substance, the one law, and the one activity. Until you can do that, you will have to experience death. Well, that's pretty plain, isn't it? So the road, hopefully we've made it clear, the road to awakening to your spiritual self, spiritual reality, to the kingdom here and now. The road. What is your part in this? What do you have to do? You must pick up the principles of impersonalizing and nothingizing. And yet that's not enough. There must be a further step, and maybe this further step is the one you missed. There's three parts to this. What is the third step? The only way to be dehypnotized, he says, is to quiet the physical senses, to be still inside. And in the stillness, spiritual awareness reveals the truth of being that enables us to see that which is not visible with the human eyes, to hear that which is not audible with the human ears, to know that which is not knowable with the human sense. All right, do you understand that? No? Of course not. We have to explain it now. So we're going to do that. The road to spiritual awakening is narrow, and few there be that enter. Yet by the end of this talk, you will know precisely what to do to enter. If you do not do this, do not say that you want above all things to find God or your spiritual identity, because it isn't true. And if you do this, you will find your spiritual identity. You will know God aright, whom to know aright is to discover your own life eternal. So it's imperative that you follow this narrow path, which has been given to us in modern language by the Infinite Way. Once you have grappled with the truth that everything you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, good or bad, is a part of this mental malpractice, this world thought, this universal illusion, and that it's taking place in your mind and not outside of it, once you have grappled with that, and you've grown weary, tired, God, how do I wake up? Please show me. Then you are ready for these steps. In your meditation, you're going to have to look at your personal life, and every square inch of it, every iota, must be impersonalized and nothingized. And so in your meditation, you must look at this personal life and say, this is not that life eternal. This is a mental image, a series of universal beliefs woven together to appear as a life. Yet there is no life in it. This human life has no contact with God. This one right here. It has no contact with God, is not under the law of God, and is not a life at all. I have been dreaming. And so this is not a personal life. This belongs to no one. This is one or a series of many of the millions of mental images being broadcast by this something called the world mind. But I want to go home. Now, it is said in the story of the prodigal son that once the prodigal son decided to return to the father's house, that the father met him halfway, before he was halfway, the father met him, fell on his neck and kissed him, and gave him the ring and the robe and the abundance that was his inheritance. And this beautiful story is the story that you must experience. For when you have seen and grappled, wrestled, and come to the understanding, because remember we started this off reading that quote from the Hotel Wellington, it must be known and understood. When you know and understand to the depths of you that your individual personal life is nothing more than a series of mental images, when you have impersonalized it in your meditation, and you have nothingized it, seeing that there's no life in it, it's a branch of a tree cut off, a nothingness, then is when you say, I will go to the Father. I will return to the Father consciousness, to that I in the midst of me. Now, I am still. I have turned away from these mental images. Father, reveal spiritual truth. Father, reveal the I and the Christ life. And then wait upon God. In that determination, in that single-pointed, one-minded focus, I will return that I may awaken. In that state of receptivity which only comes when you have laid down this false sense of self, God does respond. You see, when you pick up the principles and work them and impersonalize and nothingize this personal life, not only yours, but everyone you see, the Father says, oh, so you're coming home, are you? Well then, welcome home. Here is the robe. Here is your ring. Here is your inheritance. The Father sees by your devotion to the narrow path that you have decided to return. And in your decision, which you have put into action by practicing these narrow principles, and in your resting, leaning back in the eye in the midst so that it can reveal the truth, it does respond. It does flow out. It forms itself as a brand new life, the Christ life, the Son of God life, the abundant life. It forms itself. It reveals itself. There is a release within you. You feel it. And that release sets into motion the activity of spirit, which then appears as fulfillment, as an infinite everywhere self. And you see it, you know it, you experience it. You are awakening to your spiritual self. And that self appears before your very eyes. It's like magic. It appears. That Christ life appears. You have fulfilled the conditions. You are walking the narrow path. You are practicing, impersonalizing, and nothingizing you. And in the resting, I appear. I form myself as the fulfillment of your life. Then you can finally say, as you behold this life appearing, thou seest my life, thou seest the Father manifesting. Now, I'm assuming, of course, today that in your meditations you have reached that level where you feel the presence. You feel this I in the midst of you. And so there are three parts to this: impersonalizing, nothingizing, your personal sense of life, and all these mental images, and the personal sense of any life you see around you. And the second part of resting after that impersonalizing and nothingizing is done. For in this resting is where you invite the Father, where you show the Father you're coming home to the Father consciousness, that that Father consciousness may reveal your real identity. And so in the resting, in it, in that I, you let the I form itself as your experience. You see, if I go not away, if the personal sense of you goes not away, then you cannot receive the Comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, or your spiritual self. First, I, me, you must go away. Then the Comforter comes and blesses you with an infinite, abundant, eternal self, which becomes an ongoing experience. And so praying without ceasing means now to impersonalize and nothingize, and then rest back in I. Without ceasing, this must become your being. You must be this very impersonalizing, nothingizing, and resting in I. This is what's called being receptive. And so, to pray without ceasing, you must impersonalize, nothingize, and rest back in I without ceasing. So shall you return home to the conscious awareness of your Christ identity. So shall you awaken to the kingdom of heaven here and now. You see, you do not awaken yourself. You, in this resting from a personal life, you become aware of that which already is. Now, we've known for a long time intellectually that God already is, but we haven't known how to become aware of it. What do we do? Well, now we know. This third part, this resting back, is important. So I want you to understand. I feel you must by now understand the need to impersonalize, nothingize, any personal life any human life, good or evil. Especially your own. It must start with your own. You're unable to do anybody else's, impersonalized and nothingized, until you have impersonalized and nothingized your own. Once you have had that experience, then you can begin with the others that you see. But you must start with your own. So I am feeling that by now you understand the narrow path to, the only way to, a realization of your spiritual self is through impersonalizing and nothingizing a personal self, your self. And after that comes the rest, and it's important that you understand this rest. Because in the rest is when the Father rushes forward to meet you. And Christ manifest forms itself as your new life revealed. And so it says here, this presence cannot be felt until you are free of the barrier. The barrier is a belief in two. The barrier is a belief in something apart from God. And so do you see why you must impersonalize and nothingize a personal sense, so that you no longer have two, no longer have God and, then you can rest back and then you can feel this presence, which is the third part. Now, or actually is the second part. The third part is where the realization dawns, the manifestation happens, Christ appears. So, it's important that you understand this resting. You can rest in the Word, waiting for the Spirit of the Lord God to be upon you. And when it comes, it breaks the mesmerism or hypnotism. Alright, so your part is to impersonalize, nothingize a personal you. To sit in the silence and rest until the Spirit or the Presence or the Christ is upon you. And then it breaks or dissolves the personal you and reveals in itself your Christ identity. The stone is cut out of the mountain without hands. You cannot break it. You cannot dissolve it. Because the very you that would is the you that is the personal self. But in the silence, it rushes forward. Now, the weapon against error, our offense and defense, is something that is neither physical nor mental. No action, no words, no thoughts, only the awareness of God. And so again, I repeat, the resting means that after you have impersonalized and nothingized a personal sense of you, you sit back, rest in the feeling of this presence, this I in your midst. It then dissolves a personal you, and in its place stands the risen Christ. As you carry this out in practice, he says, watching the stone being formed in and of consciousness, while you stand to one side as a witness or a beholder, a state of peace will come, and you will catch a glimpse of God as is. Not a power over anything, just God is. The principle behind this process is that inasmuch as the activity of the human mind is the substance in the activity of world hypnotism, world mind, when the human mind is not functioning, there's no more hypnotism. When you are not thinking thoughts or words, when you are in a stillness, the human mind is stopped. The hypnotism is gone. When you experience this, you will feel something which transcends the human dimensions of life. You can sit in meditation, and you will feel the descent of the Spirit the Holy Spirit. You will feel the peace that passes understanding. You will feel a divine presence and a release from fear or discord. You will understand that God is not a word. God is much more even than a long list of thoughts. God is an experience. So, do we understand this? Let us end this talk at the same place we began it, sitting with Joel in his hotel room after the revelation in meditation came to him before he was about to give a class, which should now be a revelation that has come to you. There are four secrets the world does not know and will never know. All evil has its rise in this universal belief in two powers. This belief operating as a universal mental malpractice or as world mind. This we sum up as the activity of carnal or mortal mind, originally called devil or Satan. This devil or Satan has manufactured a personal self and has you convinced, hypnotized, that that's who you are. But be of good cheer, you can overcome the world. This mental malpractice has no power in and of itself beyond that of tempter. It tempts you to believe in a second self, a second creation. But it does operate as power where it's not known and understood. Further, that the human scene, all of it, good or evil, is a product of this universal mental malpractice, carnal mind or world mind, and has no contact with God whatsoever, and is not under the law of God. Do you really want to live in a personal life manufactured by world mind that has no contact with God? Harmony of a permanent nature can only be attained as the spiritual self, your true identity, is realized through impersonalizing and nothingizing of the carnal mind. Ah, but then there's another part, isn't there? The resting back after that, which he puts next. There is another unknown that is responsible for world discord. The secret of harmony is in not using power, but in refraining from the use of power, since omnipotence recognizes no power to overcome or destroy. Your recognition of non-power establishes harmony in the human scene, and what that means is you must rest. Well, if you would awaken to your spiritual self according to the revelation that it has become the infinite way, consciousness, then there is one narrow path. You must come to terms with the fact that everything you thought was your individual personal life is not yours. That's why you have so little control over it. Today it's good, tomorrow it's bad. Today it's healthy, tomorrow it's poor. Today it's alive, and tomorrow it's dead. What control do you have over this personal sense of self that's being broadcast to you into your mind by world thoughts? So the way is narrow, and few there be that find it. But you cannot say you do not know the way, for the way has been revealed, the infinite way. You must impersonalize, nothingize, this personal sense of life. You must commit suicide. You must die to this personal sense of life. Now, I don't mean that you go out there and kill your body. I mean you must die to a personal belief. You must impersonalize and nothingize yourself. Then you must sit back, rest in the understanding. Well, you can even say, Father, reveal yourself. Reveal the glory I had with you before this personal sense was. Reveal the glory I had with you before the world was. And then you rest. You wait upon the Lord. Then comes the glorious moment when the Father says, Oh, my beloved, you have returned. Welcome home. Now, son, now, child, let me show you the glory I had with you before this dream of a mortal existence. Did you know that you have all that I have? Look, here it is, flowing continuously. Did you know that all that I am, thou art? Look, here I am, flowing as your very life, as the substance of your form. Did you know that all that I know, you know? Here it is, flowing. Receive the wisdom of the ancients. Oh, my child, have the ring of authority, for you are the son of a king. And know that you have dominion over all the kingdom. Oh, my beloved one, receive the robe, your forever Christ consciousness. Watch as it expresses, manifests, flows out to every corner of the kingdom. Awakening everyone on whom it touches. Oh, my son, my daughter, my child, my very essence, I love you. All of it is for you, awaiting your decision, which is not a decision until put into action. It is your living these principles that summons the Father to your side. It is the living of these principles that shows you are willing to lay down your life, that you may pick up your eternal life. It is the living of these principles that shows you have decided to return to your Father's house. Blessings. Blessings. Blessings.